Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you're able to remember back to the dark ages when we last worshiped in here, you'll remember that I like to prowl the center of the room. And I can't do that because I don't know if our congregants on Zoom will be able to hear me. So I'm going to be staying back here behind the lectern. It's a little bit weird because I feel like I'm hiding from you, but that's not my intent. So tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. It is not on the liturgical calendar, but I suspect in most every mainline church, there will be some facet of worship, a sermon, a prayer, the hymns that are geared towards the memory of Dr. King. We don't worship him because Dr. King did not want us to worship him, but he has taken on an outsized presence in our communal lives. And in the Episcopal Church, he is recognized as a great figure, and the Catholic Church too. We don't have saints in the UCC, but the fact is we recognize some people have saintly status, and Dr. King would be one of them. What does any of this have to do with the gospel reading? Well, we read in John about Jesus being called. And you may remember the story of the dove coming down from heaven and alighting on Jesus. And we know that from some of the baptism stories. John doesn't tell it that way. But the idea of the Holy Spirit coming down and being with someone and inspiring them is something we can understand. Dr. King was one of those people upon whom the Holy Spirit seemed to be present. You may remember that Representative John Lewis used that phrase about looking for good trouble. That's what Dr. King did. He looked for good trouble. That's what you and I should be doing. We should be looking for good trouble. A few years ago on, I don't know what to call this, I'll call it King Sunday, I shared part of the letter from Birmingham Jail with you. And one of the members of our congregation who is now deceased came up to me afterwards and said that she had always thought of Martin Luther King Jr. as a troublemaker. He didn't like all the marching and all of the kerfuffle out there. But when she heard that passage, she had a new insight into what he was doing. And the part of that letter I read, I believe, was where Dr. King called out his fellow clerics. And you may remember that the clergy in Birmingham said, slow down, don't make so much trouble. It'll all come in time. And that's fine if you were a white person and you had everything. But if you were a black person and you did not, waiting wasn't an option. Justice was not an option. And we find ourselves grappling with these larger issues today. I've made references to our post-COVID worship, and we're not fully beyond COVID. The virus is still out there, but we're trying to get back to some normal routines. But should everything go back to the way it was before? And you may recall that there were racial justice protests, Black Lives Matter movement. And some people wonder why it was okay for folks to be marching in the middle of a pandemic. Why was it okay for them to risk exposure to the virus? And the argument was racism is a problem. It is a real problem. It is like a virus. Now, I'm not going to say that racism is a virus, but bad ideas can fasten themselves in our minds. And even if we think we are not going to succumb to them, we may well be shaped by them. What I will say is that racism is a sin. It is a sin, and it is something that we humans have come up with all by ourselves. Now, I don't know what Jesus' skin tone was, but I am presuming that his complexion was darker than everybody in this room. Jesus grew up in the Middle East. Jesus did not look like you or me. And I've referred to this picture before, but I suspect many of you have seen the image of the laughing Jesus. Any of you? Jesus did not look like that. Did Jesus laugh? Yes, I'm sure he did. And this is where I'm going to pick on the disciples. If I had to hang out with these guys, I might well have been laughing too. Sometimes I might have been crying. And I thank God that Jesus was hanging out with them and not with me. Because Jesus would have been crying. We have all sinned, each and every one of us. And it's something we fight against on a daily basis. I'm not accusing anybody here of fornicating or gambling or stealing from the till. But we felt resentments towards one another and frustrations and anger. And we're a smaller crowd now than we were before the pandemic. And for some reason, during the pandemic, people disconnected from the church, not just this church here in Lebanon, but churches all across the country. And I don't know where people are finding their spiritual sustenance now. I remember my life before I became an active Christian. And Sunday morning was a time that I slept in a little bit, looked at the paper, and then I spent too much time watching the talking heads on the weekly news shows. That was back when David Brinkley was on TV this week on ABC. I love Mr. Brinkley. He was great. George Will was on that program. And there were some liberal commentators there, and they had good conversations and discussions. But I can't say that I was fed spiritually by that. And I feel confident saying that nobody is getting any spiritual sustenance from MSNBC or Fox TV or any other cable channels now. So I am grateful that you were all here. Think about that. You made a choice to be here today. What are you going to do beyond that? My hope is that everybody here is going to respond positively when you are contacted by Barb Jones or me about your service to the church next year, because we need all hands on deck. This is not something that we can leave to somebody else. Brian is not going to handle everything for us in the office. I am not going to handle everything for you from the pulpit. We are a congregationalist church. The congregation is central to what we do. And our United Church of Christ has been fed by that idea. And we don't wait for some people in Cleveland to tell us what to do. We pray, we worship, we discern what God would have us do. So yes, we should come to church on Sunday, and we should sing the hymns. And later on, we should engage in fellowship. And then we should participate in the different committees and boards of this church. Everybody here has a gift to share with the wider community. Everybody here has been called to serve Jesus. Think about that. You have been called. Think about what Jesus started with. It's got Peter. Peter is not the most impressive person in Scripture, is he? You remember at the end, he denied Jesus three times. Yet Jesus still wanted Peter to be the leader of his church. With all of our faults and all of our failings, Jesus still wants us. Jesus still believes in us. And Jesus calls us to work for the church, but also to work for justice in our wider society. And if I were to pick a piece of scripture that really animates Dr. King, it's Micah 6, verse 8, where we walk humbly, we love mercy, and we follow our God. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But it's hard work. And as you know, Jesus was crucified at the end. Dr. King was assassinated. People who look for good trouble can change the world, but they can pay a big price. Now, that says something pretty sad about humans, not just Americans, humans. But we don't need to go down that road. And Jesus has shown us a different way. Not a path that is shaped by our resentments and our anger, but a shape for our calling to be members of the kingdom of God. That we can love and serve God by caring for one another, by caring for this earth that God has made for us, and by loving God. I hope Dr. King's example speaks to everybody here. I could call this Appropriation Sunday. I want to thank the duet for their music before, the choir for leading us in the hymns. And this is the one Sunday of the year that we sing music from the African American tradition. And we're going to observe African American History Month. I love history. African American history is American history. God does not segregate us into different categories. So why do we do that? Today, we are a fairly monochromatic group, but I bet people here come from different countries, or their ancestors did. Yet we are all getting along. We can be an example to the wider community. We can be an example to the wider community of how God's love can shape our actions. I hope it's an invitation that you want to accept. And I hope that it is a call that you feel in your heart and that it makes your heart sing. Would you please join me in the spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we ask that you be with us, especially as we look for good trouble, as we look for the ways to serve you and your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.